out essential equipment, creating a dangerous bottleneck as multitudes of requests were routed through backup systems.
Coming up, it's the World Cafe. This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. Telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Find playlists, podcasts, and more at KAXE.org.
Belgian-Egyptian singer-songwriter Tamino moved to New York City a few years back, and from a small Manhattan apartment began sketching out the songs for his new album, Every Dawn's a Mountain. In his own words, it's an album about loss.
Building an altar for what is lost is a good way of working through that. Like, it's necessary to give it a space.
Coming up, Tamino joins me to talk about making Every Dawn's a Mountain, working with Mitski on the song Sanctuary, and he reflects on his earlier work. At times, he's struggled to embrace it.
In a sense, loving your earlier work is loving your younger self, and I think there's something very important about that.
Plus, we'll hear live performances from the new album. It's Tamino, coming up. I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe. So is it our
time that's our love? For KAXE News, I'm Larissa Donovan with a special edition of the Up North Report. This edition of the Up North Report includes details that may be upsetting for some listeners. Around 60 classmates, colleagues, and community members held space and ceremony Friday for the 20th annual Day of Remembrance of the Red Lake High School shooting. Just before class let out on March 21, 2005, a former 16-year-old student at Red Lake High School shot and killed a school security guard, 28-year-old Derek Brune, a teacher, 60-year-old Neva Winecoop Rogers, and five fellow students, Alicia White, Dwayne Lewis, Chase Lusher, Chanel Rosebear, and Thurlene Stelday. Prior to his arrival to the school, the shooter also shot and killed his grandfather, 58-year-old Daryl Lusher, and his grandfather's girlfriend, 31-year-old Michelle Sigena. At the time, the horrific events that unfolded within minutes at Red Lake that day were dubbed the deadliest school shooting since Columbine, and it remains the deadliest school shooting in Minnesota history. Little Rock District Representative Thomas Barrett graduated from Red Lake High School in 2007 and was a sophomore at the time of the shooting. He spoke to the community's closeness during the ceremony at the Red Lake High School gymnasium.
If we're still here, we have honored ourselves in some kind of way. We have honored those we have lost and that we've cared about so much. I was good friends with Chanel and Alicia, and I knew everybody. So that's how we are in our small, tight-knit community here in Red Lake.
Creating a space for healing is a core mission of a small group of the shooting survivors, a few former students who have spearheaded fundraising and organizing for a permanent memorial on the shores of Lower Red Lake. Star Jordan is an organizer for the 32105 Project. She graduated from Red Lake High School in 2008 and was a freshman at the time of the shooting. Jordan has worked at the school as a paraprofessional for the last 8 years and gives credit to the students for giving her strength on these days of remembrance.
It was a heavy day, man, and even, you know, being a kid and transitioning 20 years into adult, it got pretty heavy today, but my kids at school, my students kept my spirits high, and they kept me going today.
The 32105 Project was a recent recipient of one of 10 Midwest Memory Grants from the St. Paul-based Forecast Public Arts. According to its webpage, the three-prong grant will release $75,000 for each memorial, $25,000 for capacity building, and $10,000 to pay cultural advisors, plus 80 hours of technical assistance from Forecast Public Arts. With the grant, the 32105 Project is about a quarter of the way to its goal for a permanent memorial on land donated by the Red Lake Tribal Council. Project organizer Raven Roberts says the space is much needed for those impacted.
I just think it's going to be a great place to go heal and just like to bring us all together, like every Remembrance Day we have for them.
Missy Dodds was a teacher at Red Lake High School and firsthand witness to the shooting. Currently, works as an advocate for safe and sound schools. The news of the grant brought her some mixed emotions.
When Star called me and told me that they had the grant, and I was so excited. You know, I was like, oh, yay, this is awesome, awesome. And like the next day, I couldn't get out of bed because the memorial will represent that we haven't forgotten the ones that we lost that day, that we're not forgotten. Because sometimes it feels that way.
Superintendent of the Red Lake School District, Tim Lutz, was a principal in another district at the time of the shooting, but remembers it being a sobering time for educators across the state. The FBI's investigation into the shooting revealed that dozens of people, including several students, had some prior knowledge of the tragic events that transpired. Lutz says a positive school climate is the most important aspect of school safety.
A place where students feel welcomed, cared for, and connected to each other and to the staff. If students feel connected, then they want to be here and they will learn to care for each other. And they will learn to reach out when they see something, go to an adult and say something.
That's it for this special edition of the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Larissa Donovan, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
From NPR, it's World Cafe. Hey, I am Kaleo. Third time's a charm. There's an adage that, of course, contains a sliver of truth. First time, working blind. Probably won't be perfect. Second time, you're refining. And third, bullseye, the culmination of all your efforts. If only it was that easy. Belgian singer-songwriter Tamino feels that his third album captures what his first two couldn't. It's called Every Dawn's a Mountain. It was mostly written in New York City, Tamino's new home, and recorded from New Orleans to Brussels and assorted hotel rooms during his tour with Mitski. It's a record concerned with loss and how we process our grief. Today, Tamino joins me to talk about why this record feels harmonious in a way his first two didn't, why it's important not to discredit your earlier work, and we discuss a famous quote about songwriting from Leonard Cohen. Our session gets underway with a performance of Dissolve, recorded here in Philly. It's Tamino on World Cafe.
Breathe out of my eyes. tell me again that you miss me.
Recorded live in Philadelphia, it's Tamino with the performance of Dissolve. It's a song from his new album, which is called Every Dawn's a Mountain. Hey, I am Kaleo. This is World Cafe. Happy to welcome back Tamino to the show. How are you doing, man? Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. We got a lot to get into with this, with this new album. In the past, you've talked about how you let inspiration reveal the music to you, like a marble sculpture. You know, sort of being chiseled out of a block. But this album feels like it was built more from the ground up. How would you describe how you've written in the past versus how you approached songwriting on this album?
I feel like there's a harmony to this album, or like a cohesiveness that I don't feel as much in my previous two albums. And that has more than one simple explanation, I think, but it's not only about like this deliberate choice of wanting it to be this whole. It's also So a lot of things, like we recorded, like sonically, we recorded with my touring band mostly, and we've just become very, you know, solidified as a group of musicians. So there's a cohesiveness there. Then lyrically, there were just very apparent themes and things that I had to process and work into song. So a lot of that cohesiveness also feels like gifts in a way, you know?
Mm-hmm. What you just described feels like a new chapter altogether, mm-hmm. because of those points. Does it feel that way for you?
It does. It does. In a sense, I mean, I think it's important never to discredit earlier work.
Of course.
You know, because people become fans of it, and you know, and also you have to, in a sense, loving your earlier work is loving your younger self, and I think there's something very important about that. But this sure does feel like, in a way, the first record I made as a mature artist, or an artist grown a little bit more mature, maybe that's better put. I don't know.
Man, you should take that credit.
Yeah,
you should say that with confidence.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it is.
Yeah.
Well, you just, what, 20, 28?
I'm 28.
So
now.
Saturn Return, like, this is the point. When you feel like you're changing and you can look back at your past self, maybe at 21, and see a different person and not mm-hmm. who you're like, that's not me. I mean, that's me, but it's a different me versus
totally.
Oh, it's not the mirror anymore.
Exactly. There's a big distance there for sure. Yeah, and it makes singing and playing those older songs sometimes all the more fun as well, because it feels like you're it's not you anymore, and it's nice sometimes.
But it seems like there's a real fondness for that, because you will come across people, and I'm sure you know musicians who have a unique and difficult relationship with their earlier material, maybe because they didn't like who they were at the time, or they just didn't think it was up to the standards they mm-hmm. have for themselves. So for you to be able to look back and
not always though. Like I struggle. I struggle.
Okay.
Like deeply, deeply. Like really there's moments where I have just a deep, deep disappointment in my own work. Earlier and current work, like I think on those days it's just anything, you know. But that is, maybe just that has more to do with having a bad day than anything else. But
you seem really grounded about it. Like it seems very thoughtful and considered. Like you wouldn't just go into your old library and go, "This is terrible."
Yeah.
You know, but like maybe you have a bad day and go, "I don't want to play," you know, Habibi or something
mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But those are two very different feelings.
No, that's true. That's very true. Yeah.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Tamino here on World Cafe. The new album is called Every Dawn's a Mountain. Well, this record was recorded, you know, all over the place, you know, while you were on tour in New York, in New Orleans, and there's a lot more to get into, including some of the larger themes of the record. But I want to get to another live recording, and this, I mean, it is a gorgeous song, but we've been playing it on Cafe for a while, and so we've had a chance to live with it, Babylon. And I read this was first conceived within the walls of a medieval castle.
It was first played there.
It was first played
there. Yeah, so I think I just wrote it like at home in Belgium, the beginning of it. And then a couple weeks later, we were at this Italian festival in between the walls of a medieval castle. That was a pretty cool location. And during soundcheck, I was a little bit bored with playing the same songs over and over. So I was like trying out this new song, and the band sort of caught up with it. And by the end of playing the song, they had like already some of their arrangements and stuff. It was a very magical moment, very spontaneous. And then I think we even performed it that night, just like that.
Let's take a listen to Babylon, recorded live for World Cafe. It's Tamino.
Vultures divide. I'll be collecting my treasures in fire, so none but the damned may prize them. So is it a time that's yellow, or is it my chest? Why does my heart not follow to the end? She calls me up sometimes, says, oh,
live on World Cafe, it's Babylon. It's from my guest Tamino, who is here talking about the new album, Every Dawn's Mountain. I'm Kaleo. This is World Cafe. I want to tell you something. I talked to this British singer-songwriter guy, Nick Lowe, who's wrote What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding and Cruel to Be Kind. He worked with Elvis Costello, and he's a really brilliant songwriter, been doing it for 50 years. But we talked about the idea of inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the idea of a gift. He said, when you're starting, all you know is what you love. And so when you start playing music, it sounds exactly like the music you love. But as you build your taste, you're now, oh, I love the Rolling Stones, but I also love Nick Cave.
Mm-hmm.
So then your songs mm-hmm. start sounding like a combination of those.
Yes. Things.
And as you add more influences, like, it becomes harder to tell where the inspiration came from. And he says at one point, and then at some point, if you're lucky, you write a song and you're like, where did that come from? Because it's nothing like my brain and operating. He goes, it's just a gift. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's you know you have that. So when you talk about it that way, I was like, oh yeah, that songwriters like definitely, there's that process to it.
They often talk about it like that. You know, like Leonard Cohen used to say that all the time as well. Like if I knew where the good songs came from, I would go there more often. Like there's another great quote of his. It's like, it's not like I'm at this buffet and I get to choose between the chicken or the herring or something. It's like I'm a rat at the bottom of a barrel and I'm just hoping for, you know, these like scraps or, you know, like remains. It's so well put because that's often how it feels.
It probably feels less like that the more you do it, though.
I don't know.
No,
I honestly don't know, because like he was pretty old when he said that, and I feel like songwriters are often the type of people that will never claim they're like a craftsman or masters at their craft, at least. Like they will never claim that because they know in some sense that they are very lucky and that they have to approach it with gratitude and not with like a pride. And
yeah.
Even like I saw the 60 Minutes interview with Bob Dylan where he says like, I don't know how I did it when I was younger. Like where he just literally says, I'm not sure if I'm able to do that now. And I thought that was very powerful that he said it like that. And it makes so much sense as well.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Tamino here on World Cafe. The new album is called Every Dawn's a Mountain. You said you had the urge to make a metaphysical altar to loss. And I know that is a heavy phrase, but I really wanted to think about it because altar was the word that I connected with because I think about honor. And I was sort of like, can you talk about why you use that word and what kind of feeling you might want to have honored?
So I think when you lose someone or there's loss in your life in whatever form, that in some sense building an altar for what is lost is a good way of working through that. Like it's necessary to give it a space, to give it the space that it deserves and to not just fall into the pits of oblivion. Also, like I really specifically mentioned, you know, loss in whatever form, because I don't really want it to narrow it down to one thing, but it's like this one big event in a way. But if, like you mentioned, the Saturn return, yeah, it's like it's almost like, you know, loss, so many different forms of loss inspired this album. It's not just like one big event, I would say.
You're listening to World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. We're talking with Tamino. The new album is available now. It's called Every Dawn's a Mountain. So working with Mitski, touring with Mitski, but then mm-hmm. getting the chance to work with Mitski. How did that come together on Sanctuary?
So there was a tour. She had mentioned that she liked my music before that and that, you know, maybe a song together would be cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, it still blows my mind because I've been a fan like for so long. I had a song that I thought could be a duet and she liked it. And we worked a little bit on it, but when we were close to actually recording it, it just didn't really feel, it felt like there was a better duet that I could write. And at the time I was writing with a dear friend of mine called Alessandro Buccellati, and he started playing the riff for Sanctuary. And I immediately responded to it, and I think we wrote it in about a day. Not the lyrics I wrote the day after in the morning, and sent it to Mitski 2 days later. Made a little demo, and she loved it. So thankfully, and great suggestions. Like there's this counterpoint I sort of thing going on in the chorus. She responds to my phrases. With a counterpoint idea, sort of repeating the line with a counter melody in such a beautiful way. Like really, that's that to me makes the song really shine at the end.
Before we get into the live version that you're playing for us today, I want people to hear that part of Sanctuary from the album, hearing Tomino and Mitski going back and forth. Take a listen right now. Now a very beautiful live rendition of Sanctuary. It's Tomino from the stage of World Cafe in Philadelphia.
It shakes me.
Recorded live on World Cafe, it's Tamino from the stage of World Cafe Live in Philadelphia. Performance of Sanctuary. The album track features Mitski, and it's from the new album, Every Dawn's a Mountain. Tamino, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, man. Thanks so much. This was lovely.
I'm Kaleo. We're back in a minute with more World Cafe.
It's Megan Buffington from the KAXE News Desk, where I cover northeastern Minnesota from my home base in Grand Rapids. As a lifelong northern Minnesotan, this job isn't just reporting for me, it's personal. I'm committed to bringing you the full picture, whether it's shining a spotlight on community members like Babbitt teacher Amos Kaloji, who used creative commutes to teach his students about outdoor recreation, or keeping you updated on local government happenings, like Itasca County's appointment of a new attorney. So, if you're craving local news with a personal touch, join me, Chelsea Perkins, and Larissa Donovan on the Up North Report for in-depth coverage of life in our neck of the woods. You can help us by sharing our work on social media or with friends and family. And if you've got a story you think deserves attention, don't hesitate to reach out to us at news@kaxe.org. After all, these aren't just our communities. They're yours, too.
Welcome back. It's World Cafe. Thanks again to Tamino. New album, Every Dawn's a Mountain, is available now. Thanks to our producer, Miguel Perez, who worked on the session, as well as line producer, Will Loftus, and Chelsea Johnson in bookings. Don't forget, video of the interview is up at worldcafe.org. Back into it with Blondie, hanging on the telephone.
I'm in the phone booth. She said the sound of a singular mind. And we like criminals when criminals are treating us kind. For the subliminal freaks with their invisible style who can't smile, you're on trial. I place a bet on a game knowing no one will score, and break a sweat watching the greats dragging their feet on the floor. Is it ambitiously weak to be proficiently poor and still smile when on trial? But still, it's ace, top, mid, boss, that's boss, class, sweet, geese, not bad. So lay waste to your superiors to lighten the mood, or kowtow to your inferiors for fear you'll look rude. If you don't, are your interiors as perfectly skewed as mine are? Maybe I'll show you sometime. But oh my God, it's ace. Just look at my face. I'm on top of the world. Of course it is. Why can't we travel in business class? Pack the pot because life is so neat. It can't be beat. It's ace. Latin is decent. Not bad. It's alright, yeah.
Show.
It's probably just me, but I always hear a little bit of Love the One You're With in Primal Scream's Moving On Up, a song that hit number 2 on the U.S. alternative chart back in 1991, of course. That was BG, or before grunge. By the end of 1991, a couple of bands like Pearl Jam and Nirvana would change the landscape of rock music. Stay close, or turn the volume up if you're walking away. I've got something pretty cool for you when we get back to World Cafe. Welcome back. It's World Cafe. I am Kaleo. And this song from an artist by the name of Monrovia, that is M-O-N-R-O-V-I-A, is special. It's from his new album, Act Four, Atonement. And the first comment on the YouTube video says, "It feels like a song from decades ago. An old soul, a warm hug." That is truth in advertising. Check this out. Rust is from Monrovia.
Morning light, everything's new. Looking over the covers, still by you. Coffee warm on the table with a bowl of fruit. Headed out the door before you hit. Afternoon till dusk, I'm loving you too much. Until desire turns to dust, loving you till I rust. Loving you till I rust. Driving 45 down Mill Road, still ringing my rags from the night before. Tired eyes distilled across these Tennessee hills. It's either rabbit holes or stronger wheels. From afternoon till dusk, I'm loving you. Desire turns to dust, loving you till I rust, loving you till I smell the wood fire burning, taste of sweet home cooking. Look at you, good looking, finally found our footing. From afternoon till dusk, I'm loving you too much. Until desire turns to dust, loving you. Thank you.
sky and roots through the sea. So
Shepherd's Dog. It's Iron and Wine with one of their best, Boy with a Coin. That about does it for us here on The Cafe. Don't forget our podcast, World Cafe Words and Music, wherever you get your podcasts. We have affiliates, I'm pretty sure. That's why we get to be on the air across the country. So we'd like to thank them, including our